Hello, everyone, and welcome to the GMS Magazine podcast. I am Paco Garcia, your host, and this is a long overdue board game interview room. Yes, I know that I haven't been looking after board games as much as I used to, and it's something that I'm really working very hard to try and find out how I'm going to do, because I just don't have time for everything at the moment, which is quite annoying, because I would love to, and I used to have more time. Anyway, I have with me for this episode a very dear friend of mine who runs one of my favorite publishers, because they always come with something really cool, very original mechanics and tactics and themes for their games and everything. And I love them. I love them to bits. I'm talking about Dragon Dawn Productions. Reng Maltamaki has been a very good dear friend since we met so many years ago at Spiel. And he's always managed to amaze me by the originality and the sheer audacity of some of his games. I met him with Black Hat and Perdition's Mouth, Darwinian, now Grey Eminence. And, you know, there is something. I'm not joking. There is something about the way that he designs that is so appealing to me, and hopefully to you too. Being an indie publisher, that means that I'm only so keen to give him as much support as I possibly can, because, well, he's just a very good friend, and but with good reason. It's not, you know, this is not just nepotism. I just like him very much. Anyway, I'm rambling. I know, I'm rambling. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. Here is Reng, and hopefully you enjoy the interview, and by all means, do get in touch. Twitter, I am at GMS Magazine. And get in touch via email if you want, podcast@GMS Magazine. I'd love to hear your comments and your ideas. And if you want to be featured in the podcast or the videos, please let me know, because I would love to hear from you. Without any further ado, here's Reng. Timo, welcome back to the show, because it's been an incredibly long time since we have spoken in the podcast, and it's been about, is it 2 years now? Was it 2019 or 2018 that you were around here in Valencia?
18, so 3 years.
3 years, damn, good time's flown, and you haven't stopped at all doing things with, well, all the games that we're going to talk about. So because I have already spoken about who you are in the intro of the game of the podcast, which I have recorded separately, what have you been up to?
Well, let's start with very basic things. What has happened in 3 years?
Yes.
I changed my name, so I'm now called Ren.
Okay.
I also call, still understand, obviously, the old name of Timo, but when I was in Scotland, I was so fed up with people mispronouncing and misspelling my name that I wanted something that is more universal and easier. It's only three letters, so it's really hard to misspell it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough indeed.
And then I have been doing board games. I have also been getting closer and closer to graduating out of university. I'm now in the very final course. I have done also already my master's thesis and my bachelor's thesis, and all of that is done. And now I have one course left, which is super interesting. It's kind of like a course that is training you how to make your master's thesis that I have already done. Really interesting. Not quite.
I was thinking, I mean, that doesn't sound interesting at all.
No, it's absolutely not. But it's a mandatory thing, and I need to do that. And then I have like a university degree that I can manage game projects. Not that I would have kind of needed that, but there has been actually some positive sides also in the like studying higher education on the topics that I have some experience already. Namely, I began doing these sort of serious games, where I think Grey Eminence is my first attempt of having some more serious content, you know, like, as I can't make nice graffitis, or I can't do this and that in the artsy world. What I can do is that I can make board games which make people talk. And that's Grey Eminence for you. It's super topical. I think it touches all the spots that that could be without being ridiculous.
Well, and even so, I mean, you say that, but one of the things I noticed when I did the unboxing, and because of, you know, COVID, I haven't been able to get together with people to play it. But one of the things that I noticed whilst I was doing the unboxing is that the game is, at least in its content, is quite whimsical. I mean, you claim it to be a a kind of a serious game to it, but most of the cards in there are taking the piss of somebody from, you know, deeply conservative personalities to, you know, Greta Thunberg with Green Greta card and everything. So, but firstly, let's go into the basics. Tell me about what is Grey Eminence all about?
Well, Grey Eminence is it's a 3-6 player game which is intending which puts the players into a role of those people with money, power, and influence all around in the world who are behind the scenes operating things in their own inscrutable directions for their own benefit. Sometimes they actually want to benefit someone else besides themselves as well. Like Greta is a very good example, but if you honestly believe that she's only trying to benefit someone else, the world, for instance, well, mm-hmm. you are allowed to do that. But it's I feel that it's an illusion. And same goes for most of the others. It's like everyone has some sort of an agenda. Agenda can be good as well. Say David Attenborough's agenda is certainly very good. He's clearly wanting everyone to know that the world is about to be destroyed by stupid humans.
Yes.
But it's an agenda. So it's people who are influencers of some kind who actually want to get an active stance on things that are interesting for them. Mm-hmm. And my game design team and me, we tried to make it so that that the game incorporates all of those characters' wishes and things and hopes and so on into a coherent package. And then we are throwing events that are happening, well, were happening a year ago. And then you need to react and try to solve those events as your avatar or character would resolve them to benefit your own agenda and mm-hmm. win the game. What we have seen is that it actually creates, in most occasions, quite a lot of discussion on the topics, which is certainly intentional. Mm-hmm. And when you say that the game takes a piss, I wouldn't take it that radically. It uses some persona which are well known. Well, most of them are well known, and tries to make them into like playable characters. Obviously, you cannot be the Queen of England unless you happen to be the Queen of England. But if you are playing that kind of character, then you somehow need to go inside her to see that, okay, there are motives that are personal, there are motives that are maybe regional, there are motives that are global, and those motives are not necessarily always coinciding with someone else's motives. And then you play as well as you can. We wholeheartedly actually recommend that the players would take the roles and do a little bit of a role play when they are playing the game, it actually becomes even better than when the discussions are, when the players actually try to engage the discussions from the perspective of that particular gray eminence. Some of those discussions can be, how would I put it, learning experiences. We have seen some people who are very strongly this way or that way, playing a role that is certainly not them, finding new nuances, and then after the game saying that, oh, well, I never thought that I would be able to experience why these people are doing what they are doing. And then they felt that it's maybe better.
Well, but the thing is, okay, perhaps taking the piss is a bit strong because you're not actually mocking them, but you're definitely making them a lot more lighthearted in some ways. You know, I can imagine an awful lot of people hate Greta Thunberg, and if you've used her full name, a lot of people would feel disinclined to play it. But because it's called Green Greta, which people who hate her could use it as an insult, and people who like her could use it as a, you know, that's what she does because she's quite a green kind of environmental person. So I think at the very least, making them a bit more lighthearted with the nicknames that you've used, you've also made them a bit more relatable, a bit more approachable for those who may feel more or less inclined to want to play them. How did you go about, you know, deciding to make that change from the actual people or simply creating completely new characters based on real people and just tweaking them so they are perfectly recognizable, but not necessarily strictly real-lifely so?
Well, that had, I think, three stages. The first stage was that I considered that the completely made up persons wouldn't fit in the genre. I felt that it would be telling a fairy tale, and I didn't want to tell a fairy tale. I wanted to tell things that are, if not real, at least realistic. Right. And then that left only two alternatives. Should I use people as they are in real life with real names and real pictures? And obviously the answer is no, because that would be a very sure way of having some visibility, yes, but that's typically a negative amount of visibility or negative kind of visibility. And some of those people might have a bit better lawyers than I would be able to afford. So that left kind of like anonymizing them, but only in the very slightest level of anonymizing. Like you said, Green Greta. Yeah, well, someone could identify her from the picture that we have in the game. Mm-hmm. Someone could identify her from the goals or from the name. But then again, we don't specifically tell that that's the person. We are kind of like using something similar. And then you need to make the connections by yourselves. Like if you can't really, by like doing a lot of thinking, if you can't find out who would be the spaceman Jeff, who wants to have all the money and build things in space. Yeah, very, very difficult question.
Yeah, incredibly so. I mean, I can't think of more than one people who might want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then again, we don't exactly tell.
No, that's very fair enough indeed. And I think it adds to the charm of the game itself. Mechanically speaking, though, it's actually a harder game than it may look by its looks. When I took a look at the rules manual, it's quite meaty. How does it play?
Well, the reviewers that we have had and the players have said that it actually has a lot of substance, and pretty much everyone who has played it have felt that, hey, this is more of a game and less of a joke than we were expecting. Most of the games that are somehow into the topical things and politics and so on seem to be more like, let's hammer some leftists or rightists or whatever the designer doesn't seem to like. Mm-hmm. But this one tries to be, you know, equally blunt towards all of those political perspectives. We don't take a stance that this is the correct way. We allow the players to take the role who needs to take the stance. So in one of the events, for instance, there is the Mediterranean immigration problem, that there are illegal immigrants coming from Africa over the Mediterranean. And there are several different means of resolving that. Like, one way is to like provide better living conditions in Africa and kind of like help the people at the source. Mm-hmm. Then there is the middle ground that is kind of like, let's try to find some sort of better facilities when they have crossed the Mediterranean. And then we introduce the Salvini solution, the named by the Italian minister, who actually had a radical solution. That how about, well, he didn't exactly tell that this is the positive or innovative approach, but we wrote it in a way that felt suitable. And then we wrote there that maybe we should have a minefield at the middle part of the Mediterranean that would take care of the immigration problem. It's not the humane way, but if you need to take that that sort of an approach for some reason, it teaches you something. It certainly sparks discussion. I haven't found any players who wouldn't have, well, some sort of an opinion that, is that morally acceptable? Is that good? But then again, some of those characters actually like this sort of an idea, because it's very handy and it's power originated and it's very straightforward. But maybe it's morally quite questionable.
Indeed. But then, I mean, the thing is, though, you're very used to creating, you say that people have found it as a game with a lot of substance, but you are used to designing games with a lot of substance, deceptively so, because, of course, we can talk about Perdition's Mouth and how, what an incredibly tactical game that is for being a dungeon crawler, but also such a small, simple game as Darwinning it's got an awful lot of substance to it. So it seems like it's your trademark of sorts, that all the games that have played that you've created, or that have been created by Dragon Dome Productions, they have an awful lot of substance to them, and Grey Eminence is no different.
Yes, you are quite correct. I like substance. I think it's the meat of the games, and I'm no vegetarian, so I want to have plenty of the meat. So it's just how I design games, that there needs to be a team. That's how I always start, that I want to approach this team. Then I start considering that, what kind of game mechanic would fit into this team? How can I teach this topic, or like, kind of approach this topic in the best possible way? And it's I know that it's not the same kind of approach than everyone does. Some people have a different kind of approaches, but I think this is my approach, and I have been fairly consistently applying the same kind of approach for all the games that I have been creating. That first, let's consider that, what is the team, then the mechanics, and then how to put the mechanics and team to talk together. And after a while, you will notice that, hey, this might be actually nice to play as well. But sometimes it takes a long while when it's a struggle. Like with Perdition's Mouth, it actually was quite a struggle for the first 2 years of development. But luckily I had friends. Some of them are no longer my friends because of that. But that's another story. But those friends did help me to do playtesting, and now it actually plays very well.
It does indeed. It does something very well indeed. Okay, but you have some more projects coming up. Apart from a show that's it's already in production, and hopefully that's going okay.
Yeah.
Good.
May Show is it's actually a game by Lee Broderick from UK, but produced and published by us. It's right now in a stage that we have approved the digital proofs and we are waiting for the physical proofs. And if things go well, we should see that out of production about at the same time as our previous game before that, Factory 42. Which, by the way, is also very much a thematic game with a lot of content.
It does, yeah. That has a lot of content. My God, I played that one and wow, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. It's also having a little bit of politics in it because it's set in kind of like a communistic, pseudo-communistic dwarven community. In our fantasy world, where also Perdition's Mount takes place, all dwarves have Spanish names for no obvious reason, and they are all communists for no obvious reason. And not every dwarf needs to be the purely Tolkienistic dwarf.
No, good, because there are way too many of those. Okay, so. Solspire, let's talk about it, because that is your upcoming project, which should be you're working on at the moment. What is Solspire all about? Because it sounds like you're going back into fantasy once more.
Yeah, Solspire is the biggest project that we as a company have ever taken to complete. It's kind of like the next step of Perdition's Mount. It requires that you know already the basics. Let's face it, Perdition's Mount as a base game is not really an easy game. No. It takes some learning. And you need to level up yourself, not level up the characters, but level up yourself as a player in order to complete the whole path of different scenarios, whole campaign in Perdition's Mount. Solspire moves that into slightly different direction because it's set in a place where we have three different competing factions, and you can side your heroes on one side of the factions and therefore have one kind of like a story, or for the other. So there are three different completely unique paths of how you can play it through, you know, like three what I call scenario paths. Right. And therefore it's a bit different than the base game. I call it the advanced version for the advanced players. So you need to have some sort of basic understanding of the base game, or you will have some small amount of difficulties. But it's bringing all the things that I kind of envisioned when I started making the base game, and then had to take some of those away because it was already bringing quite a lot of new things. And I didn't want to have too much so that it would be like overly complicated. But now that there are thousands of people who are actually playing the game quite regularly, and it sells still quite well, it seems that now the time would be ripe to bring the advanced version for all of those who already know. And obviously, those who don't know, they will need to learn the base game, and then they can play the Solspire. It brings new characters, the three factions, new enemies, completely new scenario types, but most importantly, the whole structure of the game is going to be different because there is what we call initiative track. That means that not only there is like enemy turn, hero turn, but now we have each individual turn is split into a line, right, where you could have the turn of one cultist enemy type, say the guards, and then right after the guards, it's one hero's turn, but the players choose which hero takes that turn. And then it could be someone else's turn, or maybe another hero turn. It's completely randomized at the beginning of scenario. What is the order of those? It's just a stack of cards, and you shuffle that and lay them out by the game board. And that's the order that you need to play every round then. However, the player turns are not defined that which hero takes this hero card. And it's seemingly giving quite an interesting new twist for the tested and true game mechanic. So everyone needs to think that, okay, I can't complete all of my hero turns, and only then would enemies reactivate. So it's a different kind of challenge for those who like to think.
It does sound it quite a lot. How hard has it been to design so it can fit so nicely in the way that you have described?
Well, I started in 2014, mm-hmm. so now it's 7, 8 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And 3 first years, I made mostly the concept and things like that. But since 2017, it's been actually like also the game mechanics. Now the game mechanics are really solid. We have been testing those for 2.5 years. And now it's mostly what is left is like scenario design and a lot of text, because this time the game comes with even more of this sort of text chapters in between. So it tells a story that is aiming to be fairly continuous story where the players make choices. So it's like reading a book, like a novel, mm-hmm. where you take the decisions of the heroes, and every now and then you need to play a part of the book and see where the next part of the plot leads you. And if you play not so good, then it might lead into an unexpected place.
That very much sounds like the next step into the evolution of the choose your own adventure books.
Yes, this is where you actually have to play the adventures and not just choose. And I think that is a little bit different approach than, at least I haven't seen anything that would be exactly the same. I think this War of Mine is the closest that comes to my mind. In terms of how it's going to work. And I really have to say that this War of Mine is a really great game. If you haven't played it, you should.
I'm not. It's one of those games that I really have in my queue to play. Okay, so when is Soulspire meant to be produced?
We aim for the Kickstarter on the Q3 of this year.
Okay.
But there is this small problem of coronavirus that is making things a little bit more unsure. We had to postpone last year because our Spanish miniature producer said that they can't do anything because the whole Spain was completely locked. Like no one going to work and, nothing happening, essentially. That's and then when that is kind of now resolved, we have Brexit, which meant that our demo copy printer said that they have no idea how they can ship anything out of UK now with the new regulations and so forth. So it has been a battle, but we are quite confident that Q3 or latest Q4 of this year, and then year after that, we will have something to like, something really quite substantial. It's going to be a box of exactly the same size as the base game. Mm-hmm. And as mentioned, it brings three different story paths, so it's even more replayability than what you have seen before.
So basically, hopefully it will be done by Spiel 2022, when Spiel hopefully is going to come back, hopefully. My God, I'm so looking forward to that.
That is exactly our aim. Then I think there will be a gazillion different new games that no one has seen, because it would be like 3 years worth of games. And if the world is producing 6,000 new games every year, then Spiel 2022 would show 20,000 new games or something like that. That's unbelievable.
Yes, I mean, I any, but I can imagine that it would be a lot more than the usual. And the place, I reckon that just because there are so many of us looking forward to going back, is going to be so packed. I don't think anybody's going to miss that Spiel, I hope.
Well, Germans are hopeful that there will be a Spiel this year. Then there are the people in the USA who seem to have, they changed the dates of Gen Con. So now Gen Con and Origin are both very close to each other in the autumn. And with the vaccination plan that they have currently in States, it seems that it could actually take place. But it's another question if anyone from Europe can actually participate because of travel restrictions.
Exactly. So it doesn't, I mean, this year, yeah, things may happen in real life. But whether it's going to have the attendance that all the years it's had, it's a different matter altogether. I mean, I wish the best and hope that it will be a massive success. But I would be very surprised if it gets to the, 100,000 plus people going. Yeah. Going this year, so Soulspire is already pretty much it's kind of done, and it's just tweaking at the moment. And I can't imagine that you have stopped on designing nothing else at all. What else is in your mind?
Well, you are quite correct. There is a new plan hatching. It's called Tolerance. It's set in, it's a trick-taking game for 3 to 5 players that is set into the world of Bloody Mary and then Queen Elizabeth and then King James. So essentially it's, I think, 80 years of English history when there was some, how would I put it nicely, religious strife between the Protestants and Catholics. And unlike in most other trick-taking games that I have seen quite a few of them, this will be a game that tells a story on every game. So you are playing a normal, regular trick-taking game with cards that are slightly modified, but, 5 suits, every card has a number from 1 to 14. Things that are common, but not exactly the same as in every other game. And the cards have some extra small meanings. And the part that I like the best is that it's an asymmetric trick-taking game where you take a role of someone who is either pro-Catholic, pro-Protestant, or indifferent, or what we call tolerant, that you tolerate both religions. So, for instance, you are more interested of money than religion at all. And you can play that either with hidden roles so that no one else knows what you are aiming to do, which is the advanced version, which is what our family seem to be playing most of the time. And that's really quite cool, because then you need to guess that, would Paco be the one who likes to burn all of these Protestants? Maybe. So if I would offer you a few Protestants to burn, what is that for? It's a quite take that of a kind game in the way when you are playing with hidden roles. But when you play with open roles that everyone knows what you are playing, then it is much more calculating that, okay, if I play this card, I will lose this trick, which is good because I don't want to have any of those. But that's now in playtesting. Mm-hmm. We are aiming to have that. If Essen takes place this year, we are certainly going to have a preview in there, which is fairly close to ready. And my aim is to have that in Kickstarter as the first thing of 2022.
Nice.
But it's a very different kind of trick-taking game. I think you have probably played The Crew, which is also a fairly different kind of trick-taking game. Mm-hmm. Have you tried that?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, it's a German game where where there is also a story for your trick-taking efforts. We take a step or two beyond that to make the story. It's not as, how would I put it, quick in the terms of how do you resolve things. But I think it tells more, you know, like a deeper story. It's actually kind of like a mini novel that comes out of it when you are explaining that, okay, like when you have played one hand. My hand is 16 cards for 3 and 4 player game. So then when you have played all the cards, you check that, okay, what actually did happen based on how many of different types of cards do you have in different piles. And so you place these cards that you win on every trick that you win. You place the cards on piles that are either alive or dead, and then separate those on whether it's like Catholic, Protestant, or indifferent. Well, it's a different kind of game. But yes, very much a narrative game, very much a game with content. And maybe it is not a game that fits for everyone again. Like with Grey Eminence, if you have, let's say, super strong opinions, maybe you find it difficult. But then again, it's made with exact history in mind. So I can't really say that if you would have some problems with what happened 500 years ago, that it would be my fault.
Fair enough. Fair enough indeed. Rang, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. It's quite exciting to hear that you are embarking again on a really huge project like Soul Spire. And I really hope that it's going to do incredibly well and continue with the fantastic startup of Perdition's Mouth, which I think is a game that more people should talk about. Because it's, as dungeon crawlers go, is, I still think it's probably one of the best out there if you have a tactical mind, because it's it goes to incredible depths. And the amount of adventures and scenarios that comes with it is just absolutely unbelievable. So I'm really glad to hear that Soul Spire is going to continue on the tradition of the greatness that is Perdition's Mouth. So I really hope that it will do incredibly well.
Good. And thanks once again. And let's hope that we can meet in Valencia. And if you feel like seeing what we have up here in Lapland, when traveling is allowed, feel free to visit.
Well, now that I have a proper job, I really hope that I will be able to save some money and actually do some traveling myself, which I haven't done for a very long time. And you are indeed very close to my number one in the list of people and places that I want to visit. So yeah, count on that, definitely. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
This is it for now. Thank you so much for sticking with the episode. I promise I'm going to do my best to get back into board gaming as much as I can, but I want to do something different. There are an awful lot of people doing board games at the moment. and I want to do something else, something kind of special out of the way. So I'd like to hear what you have to say. What would be your ideas? What would you like to see in a podcast that you haven't seen yet, considering that what I do well and I enjoy is doing interviews of gamers and designers and everything. So please let me know. Seriously, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for being there. Truly, 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 truly appreciate it. Truly. Remember to get in touch. And until the next time, I will talk to you very, very soon. Take care.